A new pilot program is aiming to make the lives of people who are dealing with an advanced cancer diagnosis better. The program, which is being offered through St. Luke's Mountain States Tumor Institute in Boise, was inspired by a landmark study that shows multiple benefits of providing palliative care services early in the course of a serious illness. Here today to talk about this in more detail is Dr. William Bollinger, who is leading this two-year pilot program, and nurse practitioner Kathleen Clifford. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Very quickly first, explain what palliative care is for people who A, may not know, and how it traditionally works.
Okay, that's a great question. The simplest definition of palliative care really is helping people who have a serious illness, in our case, cancer, helping them to live as well as they can with that illness and the consequences of their treatment. And the way we do that is by assessing and managing the stress and the symptoms that go along with those kinds of diseases, and helping in a sort of a multidisciplinary way so that people can live well mm-hmm. with their cancer and with their cancer treatment.
And when I've heard the term palliative care, a lot of times you think of a terminal illness. Do they usually go hand in hand, or is that a misnomer?
Well, we like to think of this for advanced cancer at this point, although many people experience distress having a cancer diagnosis, and we're well aware of that. But we're focusing on patients with advanced cancer, and because of the newer treatments, and we're doing so much better that people are living longer, even with what we used to consider a terminal diagnosis. And so how can we help them live the best during that time? And the whole object of this program is to partner with the oncology team. So we're not separate. We're really integrated. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole idea of a co-management to support them as early as possible as they face this chapter in their life.
Because, Dr. Bollinger, is it not true that traditionally the palliative care process would come in more
right.
towards the potential end
right.
of life?
That's sort of been the traditional model of palliative care, is after people have had their life-prolonging or disease-modifying treatment. The model that's emerged over the last decade, specifically in cancer but also in other diseases, has been to use palliative care concurrent with the treatment so that people can experience quality of life benefits, illness understanding benefits, and in some cases survival benefits, mm-hmm. And not bring us in at the end of the treatment course.
We think it also really helps people have more control over their life and their decisions of advanced care, with advanced care planning and really kind of preparing for the options that they will face.
And talk to me about this study that this pilot program is based around, where I've heard that it's being called a landmark
yes.
study.
So it was a landmark study in so far that it inspired a big change in oncology practice. The study came out in 2010, and they used a model of concurrent palliative care with lung cancer patients at the time of diagnosis, and they were seen along with the typical oncology care. Those patients in that study experienced less depression, better symptom outcome, and incidentally, a survival benefit. They actually lived longer, even though they were getting less intense cancer therapy. So that triggered further research into this model of concurrent palliative care, which eventually led to a national guideline, which came out in 2016, which has informed our project.
And at MISTI, we have done a lot of research and been involved nationally. And Dr. Temmel, who led the study at Massachusetts General Hospital, actually was here in April. And we have relationships with national leaders mm-hmm. in palliative medicine in oncology.
I'm speaking with Dr. William Bollinger, who is leading this two-year pilot program about palliative care, and nurse practitioner Kathleen Clifford. You know, what's interesting to me about this is when someone is diagnosed with cancer, but especially advanced cancer, it affects the entire family. And there are ripple effects. And one of the things that I read about was when you are referred right away to this program, it's that idea of getting the whole family involved, but also less trips to the ER. I mean, things like that can really, really weigh on a family.
That's exactly right. So we consider our unit of treatment or assessment not just the patient, but the patient and their family structure, their mm-hmm. caregivers, their social support network. And part of our process is to assess all their areas of distress, not just physical symptoms, but there's a lot of existential suffering, emotional suffering, fear, financial stressors. It affects every aspect of a person's life and their family. And so we're very, very lucky to be working in the context of a supportive oncology department, which has a multidisciplinary approach to being able to assess and address all those different domains of suffering.
And Kathleen, if I have this correct, so within this pilot program, as soon as a patient is diagnosed with advanced care, they are referred now to this program. That is part of that. That's how this model is set up.
And we have it set up as a co-management program. So we have specific diagnosis so that we have triggers that we can get these automatic referrals early. Currently, we have been seeing patients that had advanced cancer that were already in treatment because we really care about those patients as well, and they have needs. And so we have a variety of patients, including their caregiver support, families, a big range of the support system.
The national guidelines for this model of care that patients should be seen by palliative care within 8 weeks of their time of diagnosis. And we've just completed the first year of our program. And looking back, we've been able to meet that guideline as we're seeing most patients within 4 weeks of them setting foot within the cancer center.
So tell me about that. Since you have a year behind you now, what the difference has been for patients and their families. And I asked, my family went through something similar. I had a brother diagnosed. And, you know, the palliative care method, that was at the very, very end of life. Mm-hmm. And that is traditional. Have you seen a change?
Well, we've been monitoring ourselves and eliciting feedback throughout the year. And at the end of the first year, I can say definitively that the patients and families are almost unanimously benefited by our services in multiple dimensions, as I mentioned, and really satisfied and wish for it to continue. And the same goes true for the referring oncologists and nurse practitioners that work in the cancer center. We've also been able to demonstrate that the patients that we care for concurrently end up in the emergency room in the intensive care unit less, which to me matters because that results in less suffering, unnecessary hospital and emergency room trips, and less burden on the patient and their family.
And is that because when you put in that aspect of palliative care, I mean, you're checking in on that patient. I mean, there is a, I would think, a bigger relationship that's happening with your medical care.
Well, with the advancements in cancer treatment, we want their oncologist to focus on those issues. Mm-hmm. And then we're there to focus on what's happening at home, what are their symptoms. And by doing co-management, we actually start from the beginning. If you had an experience in your family with cancer, you know what a shock it is. And sometimes they can't even hear all of the information that they're given.
Well, especially when it's an advanced, I mean, when you're talking like a stage 4 terminal cancer.
Yes, the stress of this makes it hard for them to even hear information.
Right.
And by bringing them back and reinforcing that and actually traveling the journey. So when we think about advanced cancer, it's a process and a journey, and we want to be there with them along that journey. And that includes bringing in other disciplines and other referrals within the health system.
So I want to be clear, when we talk about this too, when we say advanced cancer, because of advancements in medical care, advanced cancer doesn't always go hand in hand with terminal. Am I correct in making that assumption? Or
I think that's a good way to term it, because there's so many new targeted therapies and immunotherapies that many cancers which would typically be thought of as terminal in sort of an older terminology can now be somewhat more chronic because they have longer term survivals based on these newer therapies. So our term is advanced cancer, which is, like you mentioned, maybe a stage 4 solid organ tumor like metastatic lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And we use those just as a local definition of patients that we'd like to get involved with early.
Because part of that is, like you said, it's amazing to see the advances and the fact that what was terminal can now be chronic because of the care. But if that piece of palliative care isn't in that, you have all of these other things that could happen.
Well, there's this uncertainty because exactly the question you're asking, what is terminal and how people are living longer, what does that mean? And we, with the new advances, we don't even have the years of experience with some of these treatments. They've been out for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen in 3 years? And so there's living with uncertainty and what's going to happen next.
Right. That's right. These newer treatments have inserted the possibility of long-term survival with serious and advanced cancer, but it's inserted a lot of uncertainty. And so our team and being in the setting of a supportive oncology department has allowed us to help support patients during this prolonged period of uncertainty about whether the treatment's going to work or not. And that's some of the actual comments that we received from patients and families, has helped them to maintain and to deal with uncertainty about what their future is going to be in light of newer treatments.
And last question, you're a year into this. It's a 2-year pilot program. What happens at the end of this?
Well, if the reviews remain positive, we're optimistic that we'll be invited to continue in as a long-term part of routine oncology care in Boise. And we're hopeful that this model can be rolled out in actually other specialty clinics throughout the health system. So, for example, people with advanced heart or lung disease can also benefit from a similar model of concurrent palliative care. And we're hopeful that the benefits that we're demonstrating with our pilot can sort of be a springboard to expand this type of services into other areas.
It has the potential to really change the face of healthcare.
Yes, I believe it does. And again, with all of the new treatment options, the things we've been discussing, and one of my favorite topics is aging. So as our population ages, we know that we're going to have more challenges in healthcare. And cancer is really the number one cause of death in the U.S. now, as we've done better with heart disease and so forth. So we need to have approaches to improve care for our patients.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this pilot program. My guests today have been Dr. William Bollinger. He is leading this 2-year pilot program around palliative care and advanced cancer, and nurse practitioner with MISTI, Kathleen Clifford. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you for your interest.